Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and as a listener of Intelligent Medicine, you can try a bottle of their finest artisanal olive oil, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. I've been enjoying these harvest fresh olive oils for years. They are far and away the brightest, most lively, and flavorful olive oils I've ever tasted. Their antioxidants and polyphenols are off the charts because they're fresh from the harvest. They make store-bought olive oils taste dull and flat by comparison. Taste for yourself. Check out this generous trial offer and get your $39 bottle for a buck with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. It's part two of our weekly discussion and question answering session. Radio program at AOL.com is the destination for questions. I'm here with Layla Mutin, who is our nutritional expert. And so, Layla, what's our next question?
We've got an email from Grace. Grace describes herself as a desperate person looking to improve my bad chances for good. I heard today an NPR broadcast the exciting news about a molecule that helps prolong lifespan, a Dr. Sinclair, and they mention NMN in a supplement form to consume as NAD.
Right.
NAD.
Which is NMN is a different version of nicotinamide riboside, or
right.
NR,
yeah.
Which is our product we talk about a lot, True Niagen.
Right. And
David Sinclair, who's a great researcher, he prefers NMN.
Yes.
Which is not that available commercially that you can get it.
Yeah.
But, I've sort of read pro and con on that, and it's not clear that NMN is as well
as
NR.
I went into depth on one of my podcasts, because I got this important question.
Okay.
And an analogy that I got from a particular resource that I looked at did it beautifully. Your bedroom set, your bedroom frame, your bed frame, is too big to go through the door of your bedroom. That's what NMN is.
Oh.
So it needs to be dismantled.
Okay.
The dismantle is the NR, which is then more, you can bring it into the bedroom, you can bring it into the cell.
Okay.
So this was a very nice analogy that I thought would be easy
there are arguments like this in nutritional medicine, you know, like, is it lipoic acid or R-lipoic acid?
Yeah.
Is it DIM versus, you know, what's the other?
Indoles.
Which is I3C.
Carbonyl.
DIM versus I3C. There's like a kind of like these wars going on between ingredients.
Yes.
And I don't know, maybe it's six of one, half dozen of the other. I tell you, I'm frankly not enough of a biochemist to discern who's right on that. I know is that they do a lot of research with nicotinamide riboside.
Yes.
And it is effective as NR.
Mm-hmm.
So there's less research on NMN.
Exactly.
And,
it's mostly, there aren't human studies, I believe.
Yeah,
so animal
studies.
That affect that are very,
but, again, some of this is proprietary because, you know, companies that have invested in the technology to synthesize and produce this will promote the products.
Yeah.
Obviously, David Sinclair is a respected researcher. He's sort of the resveratrol guy.
Yes. I'm thinking sirtuin.
He's a sirtuin guy, and he managed to, some people say he, you know, jumped a shark on resveratrol. GlaxoSmithKline bought his resveratrol intellectual property and research portfolio to the tune of $700 million.
Whoa.
And then
he can retire.
Unable to, I don't know whether he got it, but, you know, his laboratory got it.
Yeah.
And then they were unable to convert it into an anti-aging or a cardiovascular protecting drug, and they abandoned it.
Did they want their money back?
No. They just write it off.
Who cares?
They just write it off. I mean, Johnson & Johnson just had to pay out $8 billion, it's going to be appealed, but, you know, for
the asbestos in their talc.
Yeah,
right?
Whatever. You know, talc itself, even without asbestos, is irritating with ovarian cancer.
So Grace is concerned because her doctors say that she has some abnormalities on cell tests, especially in her stomach and esophagus, And the doctors say that if she takes NAD, she may. The doctors say if she does take NAD, it may potentially turn the abnormalities to cancer.
Okay, so
what are your thoughts on that?
There was a big fuss that was created by an article in Scientific American entitled Cancer Research Points to Key Unknowns About Popular Anti-Aging Supplements. Mm-hmm. And it is, I looked at it and it is, Scientific American is a respected publication. Mm-hmm. And they say that there's some they've never demonstrated that NR causes cancer or NN causes cancer, but they said that theoretically,
it
could promote something which may be associated with cancer risk.
Right. And that what that is?
Glycolysis.
Is increased NAD levels enhance glycolysis.
Which is good for
energy.
Which
fuels cancer. It's good for energy.
Good for energy, but...
Carbohydrate metabolism, anaerobic metabolism, but it fuels cancer cells.
So extrapolating from that mechanism. Is I've taken people, you know, who have an active diagnosis of cancer, and I say, no, you know, just until we know more about it, don't take that.
Right.
However, can it promote cancer, cause cancer to develop when you don't have cancer? There have done a lot of studies now, and human studies too, animal and human studies. They have not seen an increase in cancer with NR supplementation, even at very high doses. They've safety tested it at dosages, astronomical doses that humans would never even,
never consume. Right.
Yeah. Right. You know, like when you give a rat the equivalent of like a whole bottle of true Niagen every day.
Yes.
You know, per body weight.
Right.
You know, it's cheaper to do that with a rat because it would be too expensive for a human to try that experiment.
Metabolism is not the same as a human.
Right.
So we have to stop extrapolating so much from these rodent studies. So.
Right. But anyway, so, you know, I would say, I mean, I personally take it. It hasn't daunted me from taking it. Mm-hmm. You know, for cancer patients who, say, have an active cancer, I say, you know, maybe this is not what we want.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Grace, thank you for that very thoughtful question. We've got an accolade here for you, Dr. Hoffman, from Adele. May you be amply blessed through the years. As one of your many loyal followers for decades, I wanted to express my appreciation for all you do, which seems so effortless. Thank you. I'm coming up to my 20th year pushing back a painful and dire autoimmune disease that has tried to take away my quality of life. Now, Adele does not tell us what that is.
Okay.
But she says she's been doing your modality.
Lupus,
she's taking
rheumatoid
a slew
arthritis, maybe something
of today. My new PCP was equally impressed and had no idea until she peeked into my medical records to learn how sick I really am. Wow, you really don't look sick or your age. And, so internally, this is a very different story. Yeah, I don't look my age. But without your dedication, focus on improving mind, body, and soul, as well as researching the latest medical trends, I wouldn't be writing you this email. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. She's taking all kinds of things like colostrum.
Oh, good.
She's using fresh pressed olive oils, Carlson fish oil. She's taking olive leaf, magnesium, black sea oil, elderberry for the upcoming cold and flu season, CBD creams for pain.
Right.
And all of that. So,
Well, awesome. Yeah, good. I mean, that's very gratifying because, you know, I think, one of the fulfilling things about this career that we've chosen is that our recommendations are adopted and amplified by people out there, and people are bootstrapping themselves. Bootstrapping themselves and helping themselves to better health when conventional alternatives don't always provide answers.
Yeah. Oftentimes, so many of our new patients are people who have had it with mainstream medicine or don't want to choose their modalities, so they come to see us, and they are welcome. Okay.
Let's pause to allow one of our sponsors an opportunity. I mean, if you want to show gratitude,
support
our sponsors, because they're what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you. So here goes, listen up.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by ProPax with NT Factor, a complete vitamin and mineral formula. NT Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT Factor repairs damaged cells, restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract,
Clinical trials have shown NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT Factor for years, and now the 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158, that's 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com, that's ntfactor.com.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They are what make Intelligent Medicine a continuous, free public service. Okay, let's...
We have a question from Vic. Upon the start of my day, this is what I eat. 2 organic eggs, fat-free cottage cheese, turkey breast or tuna fish, non-fat organic yogurt, a slice of whole wheat toast.
Why?
I still want more even though my stomach is full. This happens at other meals also. What do you suggest?
No satiety from fat. I think easy.
Yeah, that's it.
Easy
this
question.
Is easy. Listen, Vic, yeah, you've got some fat from your egg yolks. I'm assuming you're not throwing away your egg yolks. But maybe you are throwing away your egg yolks because you're choosing fat-free cottage cheese. You're choosing non-fat yogurt. You're choosing turkey breast. You're not choosing dark meat or anything like that. Tuna fish, okay, but maybe you're using the fancy white albacore, which is a little less fatty than the light. Anyhow,
it's probably packed in water.
Packed in water too, exactly. You're not getting enough fat to increase your satiety. Mm-hmm. Your breakfast has to be not just proteins, but their inherent fats. Mm-hmm. Use a full fat cottage cheese if you're using dairy.
And let's talk about second meal effect. Breakfast being a real pace setter for the day.
Right.
And typically people who have I notice this myself. Sometimes I don't do this anymore because I learned.
Yeah.
Is sometimes it's like, and I don't eat grains, but, you know, occasionally, like, I'm, you know, out and about and they have the free breakfast at the hotel. And
yeah.
It's like, have a big dollop of oatmeal, you know, put some raisins in.
Yeah.
And put some nuts on it. And, you know, I put some butter in to, you know, give me a little fat. Mm-hmm. It's like 2 hours later, I'm really hungry.
I've learned that oatmeal lesson so many times because I love a hot cereal like oatmeal. And especially a very chewy, chewy, chewy steel-cut Scottish oatmeal, something like that. But I just keep learning the same lesson over and over. And
I could have a little, I took a vacation and I was traveling in Vermont last week. And so I would have a little oatmeal, but I would also have some eggs.
Yeah.
And I would have maybe a couple of strips of bacon or, some
But invariably, if I ever did have oatmeal, I don't remember the last time I had oatmeal for breakfast. I just don't anymore. It's been years.
Or how about some cold cereal?
Oh, that's the worst.
How about
cold
some...
cereal? The sugar and the milk, which is more sugar, the lactose.
How about
and
some
so forth?
A bowl of muesli, healthy muesli with fruit and some brown sugar.
Oh my!
And some low-fat milk.
Oh my! Like the muesli is not sweet enough, right? Because of the granola aspect of that. But that's
like
a lot.
10:30, I'm gone.
Yeah, Vic, start eating full-fat cottage cheese, full-fat organic yogurt. The tuna is fine. You don't want the wheat toast either. Why bother at that point? The protein and fat that you're getting from those particular foods should do you. That excess protein is also turning to blood sugar.
Had something, you know, I will comment on this.
Yeah.
I had something that was really good.
Hmm.
A breakfast where this was in Burlington, Vermont. And it was a breakfast where I had goose eggs. And they're big.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, they're duck eggs.
Duck eggs.
Because goose eggs are very big. It's like from baseball. Goose eggs is like, you know, shutout innings.
Uh-huh.
No, these were duck eggs. So they're a little bigger than chicken eggs. Rich tasting. On a bed of greens and quinoa.
Oh!
And so you had an option of a bacon or ham or sausage, traditional alternatives.
I like
or a hemp patty.
Oh.
Which is, okay, but it's, it, I said,
hemp
let me try
Hemp is a
it.
Complete protein.
So let me try it. I said, it's a vegan alternative to the Impossible Burger, which I refuse to have.
Right, right.
And it was made with, I guess it was sauteed in some oil.
Mm-hmm.
So it had some fat in it. And it was hemp. Which is fairly high protein, although it can be a little carby.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it was knit together with, I don't know, I got the recipe. It's very complicated. It's got some it's got some sweet potatoes and things like that.
Uh-huh.
And you can make it red if you want by putting some beets in. I looked at some other recipes.
Mm.
But the hemp patty was delicious, and it had a very good effect. I was able to drive until I had that big breakfast, and I drove like 200 miles.
Terrific.
Without getting really starved.
There you go.
I had breakfast like 10, and then I had lunch at 3.
Uh-huh.
It was good.
Very good. For those of you who are vegetarian, vegan, and you're overly relying on soy protein, which may be problematic because GMO, so forth, hemp is a complete protein,
mm-hmm.
just like soy.
Yeah.
So don't rely so much on soy, which can also impact your thyroid. It's one of the biggest goitrogens out there.
Mm-hmm.
Hemp is a nice alternative.
Mm-hmm.
So look into it, everybody.
Will it get you high? No.
No, no.
Will you test?
Yeah. You could eat your hemp shirt, and that won't get you high.
Will it mess you up on your drug test? It's like, oh, I swear I had a hemp patty. Really, really. I'm not.
There were poppy seeds on my bagel.
Right.
I remember that one.
Right.
From back in the day. So, Vic, you want to eat more fats. Don't go non-fat that way, because then you're overdoing protein. That becomes blood sugar.
That was
too much protein.
That was an easy question.
Yeah.
Thank you for that high-hanging curveball. We hit that out of the park.
We have a question from Cheryl. Dear Dr. Hoppen and Layla, do you think that the 24-hour iodine test is valid or out of date? I am hypothyroid, and my nutritionist had me paint iodine on my arm and observe it for 24 hours. The iodine was completely absorbed in my skin.
Yeah,
she says that's an indication that I'm low and I should take 2 drops of iodine and some water.
That's wishful thinking.
To bring it up.
I don't think that test is
the
valid.
The Lugol's iodine test.
It may have something to do with like the condition of your skin. I mean, that's not scientific. It's like some people have like very dry, desiccated skin. They don't absorb things very well.
That's
other
true
people
too.
Have very good absorption through their skin.
Mm-hmm.
That's
a very old test.
I mean, you know, it's sort of like, okay, I give estrogen and testosterone and progesterone and sometimes DHEA via the skin.
Yeah.
What is it? Because it's absorbed, it means that they need it? No.
Right.
It just gets absorbed.
And our skin absorbs a lot.
Yeah.
Including all the aluminum in our antiperspirants.
Exactly. What if I put like, you know, benzene or acetone on your skin?
Oh, that'll absorb.
It'll get absorbed.
Yeah.
Does it mean you need it?
Yeah.
No.
And just because when you're breathing the air, that if there was carbon monoxide, that your body has an affinity to it, does it mean you need more carbon monoxide?
Exactly.
No, you would die.
No.
Yeah.
So, but in terms, measuring iodine levels is very hard because a regular blood test won't so much tell you. There is something called an iodine load test, which is you administer a dose of iodine by mouth. And we've done that test. We don't do it so much anymore. But, It will show that either people spill it, which means they don't need it, or they hold on to it. But that test is not even 100% either.
Yeah.
That's so-called iodine load test, where you challenge and then you see. They also do that sometimes with magnesium. Those tests have gone into disfavor, though, I think.
That's true. So iodine is helpful for hypothyroid, but iodine is not that helpful for autoimmune hypothyroid like Hashimoto's.
So
it may actually.
It's a two-edged sword. Too little is a thyroid problem. Too much, thyroid problem.
Yeah.
So it can actually suppress your thyroid at too high dose.
At too high dose.
Very helpful for breast.
For
breast cancer prevention.
Yes.
For immune, for patients who have like chronic lung infections, we give them some iodine sometimes so that their mucus in their lungs actually has a bit of a disinfectant capacity because of the iodine in the
take that and take NAC when you do that too, N-acetylcysteine to help clear all that.
All right. We have time for one more question, I think.
Cheryl, thank you for that. We've got one from Arnold. Dear Dr. Hoppen, in your opinion, how would one go about locating a family doctor who takes a proactive approach to healthcare? What criteria should be used? To your knowledge, is there research?
I actually wrote a book on this.
Ah.
Okay. So, you know, simple answer, how to talk to your doctor about complementary and alternative medicine. It's still in print, and it's available through the usual sources. It's probably deeply discounted by now because it's at least 10 years old. But there I sought to address the conundrum of not everybody can afford to see an integrative doctor, or maybe you don't have an integrative doctor in your community.
Yeah.
So how do you interact with your conventional doctors And you know, what many of my patients do is they have conventional doctors for the, you know, the big things and for routine things. And they also just utilize for insurance, like if their doctor orders something locally, it's more likely to be reimbursed than if I order it. You know, if their doctor's part of an HMO and there's, you know, they're eligible for tests. And if I say do an MRI, they may not get, you know, credit for it. You know, at the very least, you want a doctor who doesn't scold you for using alternative medicine.
No.
Who is not necessarily embracing it, but is at the very least approaching you like, I mean, it's almost like racial or ethnic sensitivity. I mean, you have to, as a doctor, I think you have to be...
You have to have cultural competence.
Cultural competence. You have to sort of meet a patient where they're coming from.
Yes.
Because otherwise...
That's emotional intelligence, too.
So what do you do?
You have to feel the vibe of the person who was across from you.
So what do you do?
And see what their needs
are. If you have a person who is, like, very low IQ, what do you say? Oh, you're a stupid person. You know, I'm a brilliant doctor. It's like, just listen to me. It's like, well, just try to... explain it to them in terms that they understand.
Yes.
So similarly, there, you know, doctors say, oh, this is like a flaky, you know, integrated medicine person. Like, oh, you know, you are, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to fire you if you do things like, what? You don't want that kind of doctor.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, your doctor may say, look, I don't agree with some of the things you're doing, but I want to keep you safe. And if I see something you're doing that's really a red flag, I will, you know, I will alert you to the potential for harm. But as long as, you know, I can monitor your health and see if you're responding and keep you from going off the deep end, that's an acceptable, that's as good as you're going to get.
Right.
It's going to, there is an emerging cadre of primary care doctors who are open.
Yes, that's true.
You know, in big cities, you can find integrative specialists, integrative neurologists.
Arnold is lamenting that it seems like the proactive doctors are so busy, they're not accepting any new patients, like the one in my area.
That's right.
See if they have a recommendation. But Arnold, also go to acam.org.
Yep.
You may find a primary care there, acam.org, and put in your zip code and you'll get a list, a listing of doctors that you may want to.
And the other illusion in medical care is that coverage. It's like, are you covered? But will the, because of the dictates of coverage and because of the demands of covered practices, you may not have as much face time with the doctor as you want because of the, you know, they have to process a lot of patients to earn the meager reimbursements.
That's why many of them barely touch you during a physical. Another one of Arnold's complaints.
Yeah. What'd he say?
Well, he basically says that the last few doctors I visited usually would listen to my heart and lungs, barely touch me, and ask me if I needed anything so they could write me a script.
And that's why, you know, I really wanted to do primary care. It was my decision. And I said, you know, this
Well, you
is
kind
like,
of do primary care if you 40, think about it. Because it's
40 years
it's
ago,
holistic.
I made that decision.
Yeah.
And I'm very happy that I took this path because I think these days primary care is not very enjoyable for doctors and
that's
is an unsatisfactory experience for patients because it's basically it's auditioning for big diseases and and you're fine until you're not fine. And in terms of like really undertaking that deep preventive work to keep people well, there's not enough time, there's not enough monetary reimbursement.
Yeah.
And it just isn't, you know, it's perfunctory care.
Yeah, unfortunately, Arnold, best of luck to you. You will find someone in your area.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for your questions.
Yeah, and also I want to put in a plug for the CNS certification, Certified Nutrition Specialist,
yes.
of which I'm on the board, and the American Nutrition Association has, and by the way, it's not just MDs, it's also dietitians.
Yes.
And,
there are a lot of RDs with CNS.
Credentials, and that's a good credential. I don't think you bothered to do that, but it's you know it maybe at this point in your career you don't want to undertake the effort and expense to get yet another credential when you're already doing great work.
We're already doing this work, which is what the CNS is about.
So, well, you work with a CNS doctor, so that's under my aegis. You're doing CNS certified nutrition specialist work. Anyway, that's all the time we have for, unfortunately, for today's broadcast. We have So a couple of additional questions, but let's
keep them coming.
Keep them coming because we are getting some fantastic questions. We really appreciate your listenership and your interest. So
that's radioprogram@AOL.com.
Radioprogram@AOL.com. Check us out at on Facebook and Twitter, and subscribe to the newsletter if you haven't already, and support our sponsors. Thanks, Layla, for joining us today.
Thank you.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.